Come. See a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? How often in our lives do we receive invitations? You can think right from the youngest when they start school, right to the eldest here in the congregation, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, because I don't want to fall out with you. You think of the children when they commence school, and even sometimes in nursery and beforehand. And they come home from school with that little invitation in their hand from their friends. We invite you to come to our little birthday party. It's this Saturday at such and such a time and such a place. And the children are filled with excitement. And the parents at the start, well, they're so happy, aren't they? The first invitation, they're so happy that their little son or their little daughter has made a friend and they're being invited. But then by about the second or the third one, then the parents aren't so happy. They're starting to count up the cost of all the presents and all the different needs that there's going to be for those different parties. Now, and as we move through life, there's other invitations which we get. You can think of the times whenever maybe cousins, nieces and nephews, and they're getting married. You receive your invitation in the post. You're invited to come to the wedding. You're filled with excitement. You're filled with happiness. You're looking forward to that special day, to be there with them, to see the bride, to see the groom, to see all the things that go with the wedding, and you're so happy to get the invitation. You can think as well of our young people, that age when they do their A-levels, their GCSEs, and especially with the A-levels, they get the results in the morning from the mailman. Then they spend the rest of the day on the internet and UCAS, constantly clicking the refresh button, waiting for that university of their choice to send them an email inviting them to come and to study with them. Then you can think of other invitations. Imagine the excitement in your home. You were to receive a letter and on the front of it was the emblem of Buckingham Palace. You open up the letter and inside it's a message inviting you, please come, Her Majesty the Queen requests your presence at Buckingham Palace. Maybe even Hillsborough Castle. Every time one of these functions happens, every time the Queen has some special jubilee or some special function, I stand and I look out the window and there comes the mailman and he keeps walking past my door. I don't understand it. I'm standing there ready, sit it and bit it, but he keeps walking by. Can you imagine, but if you got a letter from the Queen, the excitement which would be in your house, the Queen wants me to come to one of her functions. The Queen wants me to come to the castle, come to the palace. The husband would open the letter and the wife, well, the minute she read the first line, she'd be running to get the credit card from wherever the husband's headed. She'd be ready in the car. She'd be away down the shops, getting the dress, getting the hat. Such excitement. And here in John chapter 4, an invitation is being expressed. An invitation we see is being given here by this woman in Samaria. Come. See a man. She told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Timeless invitation. But that invitation which that woman gave to the people there in the city is as valid today as it was over 2,000 years ago when it was issued. Come see a man. That invitation is as powerful tonight as it was then. That invitation is to the exact same person. It's to the King of Kings. It's to the Lord of Lords. It's to the greatest person that ever walked upon this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to consider tonight this greatest invitation. Come see a man. Three simple points which we want to leave with you tonight. The first is the invitation which is expressed. The invitation which is expressed. The verse just says simply, come, see a man. She told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This woman at Samaria, we find her here having met with the Lord Jesus at the well. And having spent that time with him there, she immediately drops her water pot and she runs for the city. That woman who had forsaken everything, she left the water pot. The only reason she was at the well, she left it behind to get back to the city. She rushes into the city and she gets telling the people, come see a man. See, this woman, as we know, sadly, her life to that date had not been very good. Her life to that point, whenever she met with the Lord, had been full of sin. We know by reading the chapter which we read earlier, she had 5 husbands. And now she was living with another man out of wedlock. That woman in that city was known for all the wrong reasons. And you can think of the hardships. You can think of the struggles of sin. And friend, those people in that city, they had judged her. But we're all sinners in the eyes of God. That woman had to go down to the well each day at 12 o'clock, sixth hour. She had to go alone. The traditions at those times and the Bible times was the woman went down together at a set time. They all congregated together. They went down, they gathered the water in their pots, what they needed. They would have had that fellowship, that communion, one with the other. And then they came back together. There was that security, that safety in numbers. But yet because of the life that this woman had led, she had to go alone. She was exiled, she was despised, she was rejected by everybody in the city. And here she comes to the well, and the Lord's there. The Lord's there whenever she was coming, because the Lord was there not just for water, not just for meat. The Lord was there to meet with that woman. That woman met with Christ. She had her sins forgiven. So she comes back into the city and she goes from man to man, from woman to woman. She's not fussy about who she tells. She isn't picking out those that she wants to tell and those she doesn't want to tell. Rather, she goes into the city and she says to everybody that she meets, come see a man, he's down at the well. Told me all things that ever I did, is this not the Christ? Goes from person to person. She doesn't just go and grab the man that she's now living with and take him into a house, close the door and go, right, I just want to tell you in secret, there's a man down here, we really need to meet him, just the two of us. I don't want anybody else to know. She doesn't do that. See, friend, the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for the whosoever will. The door of the church which you walk through tonight, that door is open for anybody and everybody to walk through. The man that was there and shook your hand, he didn't stop you and ask you, what kind of person are you? Are you acceptable to come into our church? No. Whichever brother was on the door, he held out his hand, he shook your hand, and he welcomed you to the church. It's the same with the Word of God. It's there for everyone to read. Any man, woman, or child can lift a Bible, can go into a bookshop, can buy a Bible, can read it, because it's there for everyone. This invitation which the woman came and expressed there, she didn't care who it came to. She wanted to tell as many of the people of that city as she could. She wanted to tell every single man, woman, and child in that city, come see a man. Praise God in the eyes of God tonight. There's not different races. All humans are the same. Sinners. The Lord doesn't look and see whether the black and the white, the brown, the red. The Lord doesn't care about your skin color. He doesn't look down and see your social class, whether from the higher, the middle, or the lower, or the very low. He doesn't care. We're all the same in the eyes of God. Your creed, everything, your nationality, whatever you're come from tonight. Under the eyes of God, we're all sinners that need to be saved. Praise God, the Lord saves out of every single sect, out of every single nation, out of every single creed, out of every single color. That's what he says in Revelation 5 and verse 9. Tells us there that Christ has redeemed us to God out of every kindred, every tongue, every people and every nation. The invitation is expressed tonight, just as it was in the days of that woman of Samaria. Come. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Then notice with me, secondly, not only the invitation which is expressed, the invitation which has been experienced. That woman comes back into the city and she says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Isn't this not the Christ? This invitation which a Samaritan woman came back into the city with, this was not idle words. This Samaritan woman, whenever she came into the city, she was not coming in and being paid to promote or to advertise on behalf of some other company. She wasn't coming in on behalf of some agency who was saying, look, if you get so many people signed up to this, you'll get bonuses depending on how many people you sign up. No. This woman had went to the well full of sin. This woman had went to the well in spiritual darkness. This woman had went to the well in a place where we've all been. There's no hope. There's no peace. There's absolutely no joy in her life. Yet praise God, when she met with the Lord Jesus and she walked back into the city, she came back in the light of the glorious gospel. She came back with the joy in her heart. She came back with the peace that passeth all understanding. She met with the Lord. She had experienced for herself. She had experienced salvation there at the well. She had been confronted with her sins. The Lord had said to her, go and call your husband. And she confessed to the Lord, Lord, I've sinned badly. Lord, I've had five husbands and now I'm living with another out of wedlock. She confessed her life to the Lord. She confessed her sins and praise God, the Lord saved her. And now when she comes back into the city, she comes back with the news, with an invitation that something that she has experienced in her own heart. Salvation. It's sad when you think that in our own land today, there's been men, even women, standing behind a sacred desk in the churches. And they're standing up and they're saying words and they're putting together what they'll call sermons out of this book. Never experienced salvation for themselves. There's people who have been standing in pulpits today and they're telling people to come to church. They're telling people to live well, to do good deeds. They're telling people that there's a God who loves them and there's a God of love, but they've no idea. They've never experienced for themselves salvation. They've never experienced for themselves the beauty and the blessedness of coming to Christ. This woman, when she came back into the city, she had the experience of sins forgiven. She had that joy, she had that peace in her heart, she had that glow of being with the Lord. And friend, tonight, this invitation which I am extending to you tonight is an invitation that has been experienced. I was a sinner on my road to hell. I was deserving of hell and everything that goes with it. I thank the Lord for the day and the hour when I met with Christ and He saved me. Just because I went to church every Sunday, just because I went to the Sunday school, the children's meeting, the morning service and the evening service, it didn't mean I could get to heaven. I had to experience it for myself. I had to come to the point in my life where I realized that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And friend, tonight, let me tell you the experience of having salvation, the experience of having the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most blessed and the most wonderful experience which you can ever have. And I invite you tonight. I express the invitation, having experienced it for myself. Come. Come see a man. He's told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? For me, just as it was for the Samaritan woman, the old things, they passed away. Praise God, all things became new. Tell me, have you experienced it tonight? Can you ask yourself the question tonight, have I experienced salvation? Has there been that time in my own life? Ask yourself the question, has there been that time in my own life whenever I came to the Lord? And I came and met with Him and I confessed my sins and He saved me. But friend, if you have to say honestly tonight, I don't remember a time when that happened, then you're just like the woman when she first came to the well. In darkness. You're alone. You've no hope. You've no peace. You've no joy. You can't have in sin. Oh, the glitz and the glam, they can be good for so long, but let me tell you, they'll give you nothing but misery. Come. Come see a man. Is this not the Christ? Then notice with me, thirdly and finally, not only the invitation which was expressed and the invitation which was experienced, the invitation which was encouraged. Come see a man. He told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You'll notice whenever the woman went into the city, she didn't just bounce from one person to the other and go, by the way, there's a man down there. You go and see him if you want. She didn't just go, come see a man, and that was it. She said, no, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? She kept adding and adding to the invitation. She kept encouraging and encouraging, please, come see a man. Yes, people in the city, you know exactly the life that I've led. You know exactly my history. You know all about me. And yes, I was a sinner. But let me tell you, people, there's a man down at the well and he knew about me as well and I've never met him before. He knew every single thing about my past. It has to be the Christ. We know at that time, in those days, the Jews and indeed other religions, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the promised one to come. And here at this time, whenever the woman came to the well and she realized, having spoke with Christ, she realized that this was the Messiah. She realized, and she came to the realization herself, one, number one, I need to be saved. Praise God, she was saved. And then she came to the realization as well, I need to tell others. I need to forsake what I'm doing. I need to get back to that city while the Lord is still here. And I need to be telling as many people as I can. Isn't that what we all should be doing in our lives? Whenever we've experienced salvation for ourselves, shouldn't we be then telling as many people as we can? Shouldn't we be going round our families, our neighbors, our workmates, everybody that we know and we meet, telling them, inviting them, come to Christ? This woman, when she came back into the city, the rest of the city was there, and she didn't want one of them to miss out. She kept encouraging and encouraging, come see a man. And then she encouraged again, he told me all things that ever I did. Then she encouraged again, is this not the Christ? She encouraged and she encouraged. Because the reality was, she didn't know if this was the one and only opportunity that those men would have. And those women and those young people. That woman of Samaria, whenever she got saved, she had no idea whether the Lord would pass that way again. She had no idea of whether or not the Lord would ever come to that city and would come and preach another sermon or speak to another person. And she was urging him and urging him, come see him now. Come to Christ while he's down at the well. Come to Christ when he's passed this way. This is the Christ. That question which she asked. That question, whenever she asked it in such a way that the answer has to be yes. She asked it, is this not the Christ? And the answer has to be, yes, he is the Christ. Yes, he is Jesus. He's the Son of God who became the Son of Man, who took unto himself a true body and a reasonable soul. The one, the mediator, the God-man who descended out of heaven and came down to this earth to live a perfect life and then to go to the cross and to die a perfect death for the sins. And this woman on this occasion, she urged him, she encouraged him. She didn't want anybody to miss out. Friend, that's the exact same tonight. We urge you. We encourage you. We plead with you. How do you know how many more opportunities you're going to get? How many more times can you say, well, preacher, I'll be back again. Don't worry, I'll be here for the harvest services. I'll be here next Sunday. I'll be here the Sunday after that. Preacher, I've got years yet. No, you don't. You've no idea. Just the same as I have no idea how long we've left. I take a keen interest in the news. I have one of those apps on my phone. It gives you all the updates of the news, both Northern Ireland, nationally, internationally. I've kind of become, in a way, addicted to it. You check the news about 6 times a day to see what's happened. The really sad thing is, every single week there's tragedy. Every single week in this land of ours, both north, south, over into the mainland, there's tragedy. There's car accidents. Look at what happened in Dublin. 10 in the one family, including children. There's illnesses all around us, even in our north coast area. I was speaking to a nurse the other day who works in care and goes into people's homes. She's telling me men and women of 40, 30s, 50s, and they're dying there in their own homes of motor neuron disease and other diseases. There's tragedies all around us, and we have no idea how many more opportunities we're going to have. And the woman of Samaria, she came into the city, she's urging, she's encouraging him, come see this man today. You don't know how many more opportunities you're going to have. And you've no idea how many more opportunities, if any. The invitation is to you tonight, come. Come see a man. Come to Christ. That woman went to the city. Tells us there in verse 30 that after she extended the invitation, it says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. And if you go on down to the verse number 39, says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Praise God, that day when the invitation went out, many out of that city heeded that invitation. They dropped what they were doing and they came out of the city and they came and they met Christ there. Sadly, even as we read, it says many of the Samaritans of the city believed. It doesn't say all of them. There were some Samaritans of that city that day and some of them didn't even heed the invitation to come. Some of them stayed in the city. Some of them come out to Christ. Some of them heeded the invitation. And maybe that's like you tonight. You've come to church. You've heeded the invitation that's been extended to you. Sadly, some of the people that come down out of that city to meet with Christ went back into the city. They didn't want it. They didn't want to give up their lives. They didn't want to give up all the pleasures that they thought they had in life. Many, praise God, believed that day, but not all. So I conclude tonight with a question. Which group are you? Are you in the group of the Samaritans that came out of the city but then walked back in without Christ? Are you in the group of the Samaritans that heeded the invitation, came out of the city, met with Christ and were gloriously saved? Friend, I plead with you tonight as we close. Come see a man. Come to Christ tonight. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another week. Come to him tonight. Come and lay all your sins upon him. Come and pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Praise God, you pray that prayer, he'll come in. He'll wash away all your sins and the darkness will be dispelled. The glorious light of the gospel will be shining in forevermore. Come see a man. Come to Christ. The Lord bless his word. Our hearts tonight as we close 273.